Last weekend was our family camp. You've obviously not forgotten. And to help you remember, in fact, here on today's bulletin, we see the smiling visage of our dear friend, our Canadian brother, Steve Holmstrom. We've had a lot of family camps, and I think we were as full after that camp as any. That was my sense, just of being so full of something. Such an impartation must have taken place. And I thank God for Steve and for his message and the way he handled the camp. Now in a moment, what I would like is a few testimonies. And just going to open the meeting for a few minutes, let anybody share what they received, what they believe, how they felt, what they see. We must take a few minutes to do this because that opportunity will never come again. But I was going to remind you of Steve's five gears. Can anybody remember? Has anybody memorized what his five gears were? Remember his concept was? Soul winning or evangelism is like gears in a gearbox and you're driving them in your car. At any given time, there's always a right gear for the job. Well, I'll tell you to save time. Oh, don't tell them, David. It's on the newsletter. Don't tell them it's on the bulletin. But there they are. Well, I took some notes as we're going along, so I got my version here. And compassion, connection, conception, confrontation, and conversion. Anyway, it all held great blessing for us. The interesting thing is that since then, I've been in personal contact with two more Australian evangelists of a sort, both of whom go to churches and teach things, and I'm thinking, we need the follow-on. I met a fellow in Adelaide this week who comes from Melbourne, who's a retired airline pilot. So all his life he was in the workforce. He flew for Ansett for years, and then he flew for other airlines. But what he does now in his retirement is he goes to churches, he has three teaching sessions on how to be a Christian at work. And what he was telling me is fantastic. I'm thinking, this is the ideal follow-on to what Steve had to tell us. He can turn around your way of seeing that workplace and just going about life there. How you talk to people, it's amazing. And the other fellow is someone we've actually known for a while, Mark Sains from the Central Coast, New South Wales. He's a part of the Wombrell Church. Mark is an older man. David, would he be older than us or our age? Mature, a bit older than us. He's such a character. Down there on the Central Coast, you know, around Gosford, he goes out on the streets of an evening and he has the most amazing interaction with teenagers, a lot of them on drugs and other things and coming in and out of nightclubs. And his anointing comes on them and he gets people saved on the streets. And he takes people with them and they all see the most amazing conversions and miracles right on the streets. They will see the power of God fall on people on the streets. And of course he's offering to come and share that anointing. That's another deal again, a whole different anointing. So we're going to be thinking about how can we work this into our church program and soon, you know, not before too long, so that we get some real momentum, because we all want it. We all want this momentum for loving the lost and reaching the lost and having our own lives really impact other people. But we thank God for it all. All right, it's your turn for a few minutes. Where'd we put that microphone? There it is. A little sharing. Last weekend was good. And Tony has... Come on, Tony. You can be the first. And this is Pastor Tony Ponigy. This is the Tony I make famous. That's where Steve got that line from. Yes. Everywhere I go in the world, I tell Tony's story and make him famous.
And Steve's service station.
Yeah. There you go.
Thanks.
Good.
This week I went to get my back tyre changed on my motorbike. And I had to wait for it to get done. So I thought, here's an opportunity. I'll sit in the office. I knew the guy in the shop a little bit because I go there every time. And he knows me as Tony. And when I said who my name was, he said, oh, the minister bloke. I said, yeah, that'll be me. So I went in. I was sitting there. And he came in and we just started chatting about this and that. And this opportunity came up. And I thought, oh, here we go. This is right now. My motorbike had the front light on it, the headlight, had gone out and had been out for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And you're supposed to ride motorbikes with a front light on, aren't you, John? Yes. And I wasn't. And I didn't have heaps of money to go and get it fixed, which is a good reason to use your faith. So after 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of having no light, I thought, I probably should pray for this. So I did. I prayed for it. And the next morning when I jumped on my motorbike and I swung my headlights around and hit the brick wall, they were working. And I told this guy all that. I said, this is what happened. I said, you're not going to believe this. And I just explained it all to him and he just looked at me and said, that's interesting. You should really pay for my checkbook now and get it working.
So you did?
No, I didn't, which I probably should have done, but I didn't. But yes. I just thought it was an opportunity that I took, sowed some faith, and we got talking a bit more, and he's telling me about his Salvation Army, a mother-in-law, and we just talked, and it was just a bit of relationship building, a bit of faith sowing, and I thought that was an opportunity. Not only that, he gave me a whopping big discount on my back tyre. Whopping big discount. So that was all good. Yeah.
Well, he sowed a seed right there.
Yeah.
You've helped his checkbook right there.
Yeah.
But maybe you should make that an excuse to go back and pray for his checkbook. Really good stuff. All right, who else? Who's next? Now, it doesn't have to be a testimony of anything that's happened since. It can be a testimony of something that's happened in your heart at the camp. All right, Dominic, your turn.
Well, at the camp, Steve Holstrom really cleared out some things in my mind about what evangelism is and how to do it. And after that, just felt just so much easier. And on Tuesday afternoon, I was cleaning the coffee van and I noticed my neighbour, he's an adult, a cop, a policeman. He had his tinny out, so I asked, have you gone fishing? And from those words, it just blew up into a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And like connection.
You're working on connection. Was that gear one or two?
Two.
Right.
I think so.
Okay. Good man. All right. Ah. So is it Xavier or David with the word? Oh, right, okay.
We've been doing some geocaching as a hobby, and we've made some friends with this other couple online. We'd never met them in person. And last week at the camp, I said to Marie, we've got to invite this young couple to our house for a meal. But they're poor uni students, and they couldn't afford to come to Mount Morgan, so we decided to go and do a geocache together yesterday. And there's this one that presented to be quite complicated, and so we ended up spending the whole afternoon with them talking, and it turns out that they're Mormon folks here in town. And I said to Marie, well, it doesn't matter that they're Mormon folks. We're just going to love them. And, you know, if they're Mormons, they're probably going to want to share their faith with us at some point. So we're going to get to talk to the Lord about them. And after we found the geocache, it was a bit of a twisted one where we realized we could have found it in 5 minutes. But because we didn't really read the instructions properly, it took us all afternoon. And I said to Marie, see, that was the Lord's blessing that we got to spend the whole afternoon with those folks. And I think that's the connection part, just to make friends with people and pray for them.
Mm. Well, great. Darren, welcome. And
I had an opportunity this week. We've got an employee, but pretty close friend. His name's Doug, and he's going to Brisbane. Well, he'll be there today. He's getting some of his lung cut out, and he's got some cancer there. And me and Justin had an opportunity to actually pray for him on Friday, it was. And God really touched him. I was really amazed. God really moved on his heart. He started crying. And, yeah, so we're looking forward to seeing what happens in Doug's life, I think.
Good, good. And, come here. Stand right in the middle. Get the limelight. Here you are. Isaiah.
Yeah. Family camp was really great. Last week I got saved last Saturday night. Yeah, just had a really good feeling in my heart. Like, I only just started to listen to the messages, and I just got really interested and tried some of the things that Steve mentioned, and has been going really well.
Good. Isaiah, bless you. And Isaiah has, in times past, expressed his faith and, you know, made decisions for Christ. But last weekend he had an encounter with God. And that's the thing we all need that really puts permanently and deeply into our hearts the mark of Christ. That's the real born-again experience. And when people have that, generally speaking, they don't fall away. They have the faith. We thank God for that. I thank the Lord that in recent weeks we've seen that work going on in different people's lives. It's very important, I think, in every church on the planet that we make sure that every last person in church, you know, because many people come and they say they believe, and they do believe, but have they had that encounter with God that's put this real mark of Christ deeply? We've got to make sure that everybody has that they really have been born of the Spirit. Maren, your turn. Come over here.
Yeah, family camp. That was wonderful. And the next few days, you know, when I got back home, I got my voice. I was just, you know, whenever I thought about the family camp, I was just crying before the Lord. Because I was so thankful that I had that teaching at last. I had been waiting for so long for that. And now I just so thankful to God for that. And anyway, at work, the camp, it just sort of made me get over my uncomfortableness whenever, you know, people at work, they ask me about my weekend, you know, and I tell them, well, before, I just didn't want to tell them I went to church. I had this thought that I didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable, but instead it was me being uncomfortable. And so now, I'm just going to tell them where I was. I don't care how they feel. You know, and I just, I'm just so thankful to the Lord for that. So that's just a start. And also another thing, I became a bit more alert of when or where I could say something to someone. Like, I work in an employment agency, and I sort of like, I'm starting to think that, you know, I can pray for these people, you know, if they want me to. But I'm just starting to feel alert now. I'm starting to become aware of where the Lord might want me to say something or do something for someone. So, yeah, so I'm just thankful to the Lord for that.
Maren, thank you. Wendy, good morning.
I think similar to Maren, the Lord has opened my eyes to opportunities that have been there all along. And I really like the way Steve demystified. I love the way that he started with that, because it really was very simple, wasn't it? The outline that he gave us. And as a teacher in a Christian school, you can assume that your students are saved, especially because you know so many of them come from strong Christian homes. They've been in the church all their life. But, you know, when I take the time with my children to say, just because you've got Christian parents, just because you're at a Christian school, just because you've done church all your life, it doesn't mean that you're saved. And when I take the time to do that, I can have 15 children in a class put up their hand and do a first-time commitment. And these are strong Christian kids. You know, your top kids in your class, but they've never done it for themselves. And I said to Steve last weekend, thank you. It's this outline has made it so, so easy to not only reach those kids, but teach my children how to reach others. It was just so simple. And like Maren, God has opened my eyes this week to opportunities. Now, I went voting yesterday, and I just got back in my car, and an old man appeared at my window, and I wound the window down, and he said, have you just voted? I said, yes. He said, is this where it is? And I said, yep, down there, around the corner. It's a bit of a walk. And he said, that's okay, I'm 87, I'm a bushman from the Gulf, and I've been running my whole life. I've been in the Second World War. 40 minutes later, I was still sitting there. He told me about all his broken bones, he's broken his nose 8 times, he's broken his back, he's just had a virus, his arm was in a sling. And I said, man, God's angels have been watching you your whole life. And he said, oh no, I'm an atheist, I believe in evolution. And I said, well, there's no way you could convince me of evolution. And I said, even if you don't believe in God, he believes in you. And it was really interesting. I thought, God has brought this guy from the Gulf, brought him across my pathway, because I was about to drive off. And it opened a door, and now I'm praying for him. You know, God's just opened an opportunity, and I'll just keep praying for him, and who knows when the harvest will come, but I've got the opportunity to pray.
Mm. Wendy, great. Well, it's all astounding. Josh, come here. Right, this is Josh, everybody. Here we go.
I found Family Camp a great experience. Steve managed to really speak to me and help me grasp the concepts of evangelism really clearly. Like, it was so simple, and at first I thought it was a really complex thing that I was really a bit scared of, but like, I decided that I'd go to work and I would really try to make a difference, try to make myself more noticed and try to touch people, be a blessing to people. And I found that through doing that, just this 1 week, I found my working shifts far more enjoyable. Like, I can go to work and I go out of my way to remember every single person's name. Like, I don't know everyone that works at Macca's. Like, there's people coming and going all the time. I saw someone new the other day, and I said, went up to him and said, hey, how you going? How have you liked your shift? And you could just see straight away they felt like, oh, this is great. Someone actually looking out for me a bit. Because I know that that's what I liked when I first started there, someone that was wanting to look out for you and, you know, give you a kind hand if you needed it. And, like, I made it an objective to see every customer walk out happier. Not in the sense that's a good business thing, but because it's something that I wanted to accomplish for myself to, you know, just shine. And so the amount of times that I was able to open up to a customer in just small minute and have them talk to me about some of their problems or some of the exciting things that happened in their day, it was incredible. Like, the concepts that Steve shared and just like the connection and opening up just the smallest things, it was incredible. And the amount of stuff that I learned from some people in just 5 minutes in a 4-hour shift was really amazing. So I'm really, really excited to see how much further this goes. Like, already I've been able to talk with a mate of mine at work, and I'm expecting him to come to youth soon, and, you know, I think there's some pretty good stuff coming ahead, so I'm really keen to see how it all works out.
Good. George, thank you. Oh, well, no, you might as well line up. Just all line up over there. Come on, Justin, you can line up over here. The story I remember two stories more than anything else from last weekend. What would they be, do you think?
No clue.
just can't forget those stories.
The JW girl.
Crystal?
Yes.
Who remembers Crystal? Man, you're laughing 1 minute and crying the next. I could have cried the rest of the night for those people. That's his Jehovah's Witness story. And I thought the funniest time of the whole weekend was in the last meeting when he was telling us about how the other evangelist asked him, you know, to tell the gospel in 10 seconds.
Oh, yes.
Which he took about 15 minutes to tell us the story. I never seen anything so funny. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what they are?
Yes?
I'm going to ask you a question now.
Oh, no. We're after your testimony.
I wrote them down.
Did you?
When I was listening to the CD, those particular things.
I remember them.
All men are sinners.
And man is a sinner.
Yes.
God is love.
God, yes.
Faith.
Jesus is
the
way.
Jesus is the way, faith is the key.
Yes.
I was going to get them around the other way.
That's right. I thought it was great too. I really enjoyed how simple it was, and probably like everyone else, evangelism is something you build up in your head to be this enormous scary thing, and now it's not, and you can go about building things. You know, I've always felt a bit awkward about just going out onto the streets or something like that just to win souls. You know, it sounds, you know, like you're just going to get a prize or something. And probably that's not bad in itself, but that didn't touch me, the way making connections and building friendships, not just for the sake of getting people won, but to build relationships, and that appeals to me. We went to a school years ago called the School of the Power Evangelist, and then we went over to the Philippines, and each day we'd have to report back how many people we got saved, and it was a very disappointing time for me. These other guys, they'd go, and one fella, he had like 800 soldiers say the sinner's prayer, so he comes back and says, I got 800 saved today. And in my heart, that never really sat well. I thought, what happens to them now? Where are they going to go? And who's going to look after them, you know? And so the way Steve talks about it, to me, is a great way. And I had an opportunity this week. You know, I work down the back of City Heart Medical in a little office that's no one up the front sees, and I don't get out of that room much, but sometimes people come into me. And one of the nurses came in this week, and I said, oh, how are you going? And she said, oh, my husband's really cranky. And I said, oh, is he? I said, why is that? And she said, oh, he's got a sore back. And anyway, I had just read in the scripture that morning that a gentle answer turns away wrath, and that an angry outburst, you know, draws anger out of the other person. So I said to her, you know, I just read in the scripture this morning this particular thing, and she said, oh, that's interesting. So, you know, just every the little bits of faith that you can, faith seeds, just like Tony spoke to that guy at the motorbike shop. Prior to that, I probably wouldn't have just stuck a little thing in there, because you think you've got to do the whole hog at once, you know. So, yes, that's what I think.
Seeding faith. No, good. Good work. Sowing faith. Thank you. Lisa?
Can I just say that I've known John for more than 20 years, and I have never seen him laugh like he did at the Pastor Bob story. And I'm just laughing inside now, thinking of your face. It was just
I'm
amazing.
Laughing inside all the time, Lisa. But
I don't know, but I'm laughing inside thinking about what I saw. Anyway...
I never smile when I tell a joke. Come on. Come over here.
I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, the thing that, besides the crystal story, like John, I actually was sitting there crying. The thing that I took away most from Steve was his statement, Have you thought about bringing God into that when somebody expresses a need or a problem? I've always been a person who's interested in other people and a bit of a can opener, you know, and I will ask people, how are you, and so on. But adding that to how I have always been operating, it's almost like it gives you a purpose for asking a question. And this week I was signing the boys up for soccer, and the lady came in and she just didn't want to be there. And there was two ways you could do that, you know. It could be like, oh, get this over and done with or not. But she had a logo on her shirt, and I said to her, oh, what does that do? And she changed like that from being, you know, to all bright and telling me about, you know, I just kept asking her a few questions, you know, what does that mean and what. And she was alive with her own, you know, her life, quite happy to talk about it. She didn't have a problem that day, but I was on the lookout for her to say that there was a problem so I could say, have you thought about bringing God into that? And so I feel like there's purpose that was not there before. So instead of just being interested in people, it's that edge of looking out for, you know, something I can put into them.
Good work. Yeah, good work, Lisa. Yeah, Justin?
Good morning, church. When I moved to another place, the lady, the landlord, her name is Phyllis. When I moved to her home, it was atmosphere like stuck and hard. So that's why I asked a request to John and Hazel. They came to my home and they prayed. And from that time, it is very happy atmosphere there. And that lady, she have been under the curse, like in their family, 10 people have been died by suicide, and twice time in my presence, she tried to be a suicide. But when she shared me, I want to do this. So I share the word of God with her, and I pray for her. Now she's released, she's happy now, and she's very kind to me.
It's very good, Justin. Nothing like having a kind landlord, is there? Michael, it's your turn. Here you are.
God gave me a really good opportunity recently to witness to the lost. I had an old group of friends, and they asked me to come to a party, and usually I just go, oh, you know, I'm not going there. But I felt God tugging at me, telling me to go there, and, you know, I was quite scared of going there. But, you know, I felt him say, you know, I'm happy with what you're doing, you know, I'm really going to help you. So then I went to the party, and, you know, as soon as I get there, you know, I get hit up about being a Christian, you know, quite quickly. So, you know, I got to talk to him about it and that, and I basically, you know, went through evidences and stuff for it, but it didn't really do a whole lot. So then, you know, God, you're the only one that's going to help them. Could you please help me? So he gave me a word of knowledge that one of them had depression and that his computer had recently, you know, gotten stuffed, and, you know, I was right and that. You know, he thought a bit then, and then, you know, he said, you know, you're a good guesser or whatever, but I've got another fellow that, you know, I'd get words of knowledge for him, and I prayed for him recently, and afterwards when he got up out of the car, he couldn't actually walk properly. He was like really shaky. So, you know, I said when he gets here, you know, he can tell you basically. And then he got there and they're like, okay, well, let's see it basically. So, you know, they got me to get up, and other people came out the front. I put my hand over the top of them, and they'd nearly fall over with my hand over the top of them. So, you know, I was, yeah, I couldn't be happier that God let me do that. Then afterwards, I walked in an unusual anointing to be able to distinguish injuries on people through word of knowledge. So someone would get a lot of headaches and I'd tell them that. Another person had like a left shoulder that they had a lot of trouble with. And then I figured, well, if God's going to tell me what they are, he's probably going to heal them. So I said, basically, you know, God's touching you now, God's healing you now. And some of them would get like a numbness, or some of them would feel like a really strong heat. And then I asked them and I said, you know, did you know that when the Holy Spirit heals people that they feel like a real heat? And, you know, they said no. And, well, out of that, there's one kid that wants to come to youth because he's really, really been touched by that. So, you know, I'm thankful to God for letting me do that. You know, I was quite scared to do that. And, you know, he didn't make me look silly. So, yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Mm. Michael, excellent. Really excellent. It's astounding that we have so many that, following on from the camp, have simply been activated by grace. It's marvelous, isn't it? That means there was real impartation and real anointing. And I thank God for it. Now, this week, I guess, you know, a whole lot more will happen. And all of us, you know, it's very simple. All of us can do this. This is really what the scripture means when it says, be ready, be instant is the old King James. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, whether the timing and the atmosphere is appropriate or not appropriate, just be ready. Because that little thing you do, that thing you say, will make a huge difference. Michael's been learning to use word of knowledge. The truth is, the gifts of the Spirit were intended for us to use every day in the world, not so much in just a service. It's not that it's meant to be, it wasn't designed so much for a little bit of display, you know, so that it's like just an act to keep the believers happy. Rather, it was, those gifts of the Spirit are for believers to use every day of the week as you touch people's lives. Words of knowledge, little words of prophecy, discerning of spirits, just knowing how to pray, healing and miracles. Could I make you a promise on behalf of the Lord that if you'll step out in faith and pray for people who are sick or have other needs, you will be astounded at the miracles you start to get. You have a very high probability rate of miracles in that circumstance compared to any other circumstance in life. So feel free. The healing and deliverance goes hand in hand with the gospel. Wherever you preach the gospel, that is, wherever you let your light shine, the power to heal, the power to deliver will be present. Now, time is about gone, and there is no time this morning to preach a message, and I don't intend to, but I'm going to read you the verse that I wanted to make plain, and today I was only intending to give you an introduction to it anyway, because we will need to do more with it later. But I want to demystify a verse, and we may as well tell you what the verse was and see if we can't demystify it in about 2 minutes flat before we go to our prayers. Now, that verse is found in Romans 6 and verse 11. And the verse will come on the screen for you, Romans 6:11. And the one we're going to show you, of course, is the NIV version. Joseph, do we have also available at your fingertips, don't put it up yet, the King James Version? Okay. What I'll do is I'll show you the verse in the two versions, the modern and the old. So here it is. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This verse holds one of the most amazing keys for spiritual victory that are in the scriptures, but it's hardly ever expounded on. Now, I think years ago, a long time ago, you were more likely to hear a sermon on this kind of subject than today. When I was a boy, we mostly heard messages on the cross or the gospel all the time. And because that was the main subject all the time, these kinds of things got really explored. But as we went along, the church found there were so many other things to learn about. And so some of these old skills, old concepts that have real dynamic power in them, have been along the way just forgotten and overlooked. Let me show you the old English, the old King James version of the same verse. This is the King James of Romans 6:11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also. Well, we can take out the ye. Reckon yourself. Instead of ye also, put your ye also yourselves. A bit of a mouthful, that, isn't it? Just, you can drop that. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God. Now, there's two reckonings that have to happen here. You've got to reckon yourself dead to something and reckon yourself alive to something else. This reckon, which in the more modern NIV is translated count yourself dead to sin and count yourself alive to God, it means to take inventory. Sit down and look at the thing properly and measure what you've got and what you haven't got, and having taken an inventory of the truth, of the facts, believe it, declare it, stand on it. That's the truth. So the key here is this. This is a key to power, by the way. Because the question to be asked is, how do you overcome sin? How do you overcome the weaknesses, besetting sins, temptations, and the struggles of life, on the one hand? And how do you walk in victory and freedom and faith and holiness on the other hand? And this verse is the key. Reckon yourself dead to God. In other words, this is something that you've got to say to yourself and believe, stand on, position yourself with, consider it to be absolutely true to the point that you say, this is what I am. Reckon yourself dead to sin and reckon yourself alive to God. Now, you can broaden this out a little bit if you read the whole passage, and we will come back to it another day because we don't have the time now, but this occurs in a passage about the meaning of baptism. And when you consider that passage, what come up are some concepts like this, that you have been, that in Christ, if you're in Christ, you have been crucified to the world. And the world has been crucified to you. And when Christ was nailed upon that cross, your sins were nailed upon that cross, and you were nailed upon that cross with him. And so you actually have a very sound, solid basis for saying, I am dead to sin. I am alive to God. And I'm trying to do this in 2 minutes, so this has to be my last statement, just by way of introduction. If you will take this upon your lips, if you will take it to heart as something you stand in and say, no matter what situation comes up, a situation of struggle comes up, a situation of oppression, a situation of opposition, a situation of temptation. What about just a good old situation in which you feel weak and you feel lousy? What if you've just slipped, done something wrong, and you're feeling lousy about it? It's time to do some reckoning. And this word reckon has power. It's time for you simply to stop and say, I am dead to sin. I am alive to God. Take a stand on the thing, and you will be amazed how much power is in you just by this positive confession of the gospel. Listen, it is a key to victory over sin. It is a key to freedom, and it's a key to faith. It's a key to actually walking in the freedom that faith is meant to give you if you will practice it. and you can apply it to a lot of things. If you come up against a situation in which there's demonic power and there's some kind of opposition resisting you, start reckoning yourself dead to sin. Reckon yourself dead to the world. Reckon yourself alive to God. Try it. And there's a follow-on instruction we don't have time to look at, but we will examine that instruction later. So, friends, Easter is coming. It is Lent. And in this period of Lent, we are considering our need for the power to win souls. But we're also looking ahead, just thinking about a number of subjects in view of the cross, that Christ went to the cross for us. What this says to us today is that Christ's crucifixion was your crucifixion. You in that you have your very own crucifixion. This has implications, and in the coming days we're going to open up what those implications mean for life. Could you simply take it from me this morning? This is a power key. And could you contemplate it during the week and start confessing it? I am dead to sin. I am alive to God, and see how it begins to shift your circumstances. Don't just take it as a mild little thought. Listen, please take it as a strong confession. Stand in your house. Stand in your prayer closet. You know, stand in those times when you're feeling oppressed and start making declarations. I am dead to sin. I am alive to God. Believe me, it will start to make a huge difference about how you feel about yourself, how you see the world, and about the freedom that you have in faith itself. I'm going to pray for you with regard to that. And then we will sing together, but we'll close our meeting this morning with our small group prayer. Let me pray for you. As I pray, I want you to believe the power of the gospel is present, the power of Christ, the power of the cross, and it is present to fill you, to inundate you with grace. I want you to believe that everything Christ has is yours. Because he died for you, you have become a joint heir. All the grace of which the scripture speaks is available to you because of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And so now in prayer, as we bow our heads and our hearts, as we humble ourselves before God Almighty, as we cast ourselves upon the Lamb of God and trust in his shed blood and the finished work of Jesus, as we put our trust in God, the transforming power of the life of God comes upon us. And so as we pray, drink it to yourself. Receive it to yourself today. Let the Word of God transform you fully. You are Christ's. You are crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to you. You are dead to sin, and you are alive to God. And Lord in heaven, I thank you that when Christ died, we died with him. I thank you that when he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he rose from the dead, we rose with him. I thank you that when he ascended to the Father and was seated at the right hand, we were seated with him far above all principality and power and every authority and every name that can be named in heaven and on earth. And all things have been placed under his feet, which is his body, the church. I thank you that we have this high position because of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we cling to it today. We count it ours. We consider it ours. We reckon it ours. I thank you, O God. We are dead to sin. And we are alive to God. Now, Holy Spirit, come upon every one of these believers. Come upon them now with power. And fill their lives with the presence of the Father and of the Son, brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Fill them, O God. And place upon them your choicest blessings, your richest grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters, I place on you today the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I place upon you the blessing of shalom. It keeps you. I place upon you his grace. It empowers you. And I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we take up our full inheritance today. This is our cry. Give us our inheritance. And surely, Lord, amongst all the things that we inherit is the salvation of our sons and our daughters and all who are yet to come. Holy Spirit, move upon them all. And I pray for anyone here today who has not been affirmed in the faith. I pray, Lord, for those who have not yet had a real encounter with God. And I ask that the Spirit of the Lord would go straight to their heart and grip them deeply so that there would be within them a death to sin and a resurrection to God. Lord, that you'd bring them alive, that they would be born again of the Spirit, even as we sit here today in fellowship in the presence of a holy God. Holy Spirit, go out and do this great work in the heart of them all. Take a hold of them. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And now this, Lord, make us, this week, make us a fruitful people. Thank you for the fruit that has been born this last week in caring and compassion, in connection, oh God, and in conviction, in speaking words to people, in building faith in people. And now make us really fruitful in the coming week that we may do all this again in service to God and Christ and in service to our fellow man who is so lost. Oh God, save, I pray. And so put upon us saving power. Give us the power to win souls. Give us the power, Lord, to heal and to deliver and to put your word in the heart of other people in a way in which it shall live indeed. Make our families fruitful. Bless every home, every heart, every marriage, and the future of our children, bless. The future of this city, bless. Oh God, we pray. And I thank you that you hear our prayers. We pray too this day for the new government of Queensland. We pray for Campbell Newman and Jeff Seeney and the team of leaders that he will build. And we pray for every person who's been elected to Parliament of all parties and of the independents. I ask that grace would come upon every one of these men and women, those who have been there before, those who are new. I ask that grace would come upon them so that Queensland would have a great Parliament, a great leadership, a great government. And I ask, O Lord, that in that government you would lift up those who are God-fearing and those who believe, and lift them up so that they are salt and light in that Parliament. And if, O Lord, if there is amongst them a bad apple, strip out the bad apple. If there is someone, O Lord, who should be brought down, bring them down. For your word says you raise up one king and you bring down another. And so I ask, O Lord, that if there is anyone in there that carries a bad spirit, they will have no influence on the direction of this government or of this state. But I pray that you would breathe upon the Parliament, and I pray for Campbell Newman that he would be given the wisdom of God, as other kings have been. We pray that he would find grace. I ask, O Lord, that he would come to find the truth. He would become a believer who really knows the Lord. And so we pray that you would protect him. And I ask that you would direct him so that we are given peaceable and quiet and prosperous times in which this gospel may prosper in this nation. And so we bless the new government and ask for godly outcomes, O Lord, that you would watch over them in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, watch over your people. Bless the work of their hands. Bless their hearts and homes. And I ask that you would prosper this city. You'd bless and heal the body of Christ in the city. May the glory of God come powerfully upon the whole city. And Lord, be with our people this week, wherever they may go. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Friends, turn to one another just now for prayer. We will